I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to everyone out there. Just past, actually just on the dot, 9 a.m. Good time to call Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, 888-98-TWINS. Duncan, get there. It's the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. We welcome in our guy, Doug Whaley, right now. Hello, Doug. How you doing?
Doing great. Everybody's talking about Judge and Pujols. I got a question that just popped in my head.
Sure.
Why are fans so vehemently opposed to players in the steroid era getting in the Hall of Fame in baseball, but there's no talk about it about the football?
NFL. The way that we look at these two sports is so totally vastly different. And even I've said this for a long time too. Sometimes it's the same people, as in the same sports writers, will look at a baseball player and vilify them. You may even hear one of them today from 10 to 2 on this station. They'll vilify a baseball player and never vote for him in the Hall of Fame, yet call Tom Brady a GOAT and the best, and he was a certified cheater. I don't get it.
I just thought about it now. I'm like, wait a minute. There was a definite era in the NFL where steroids were not only prevalent, but actually pushed. And people knew it, and everybody knows it, and the ramifications have been exposed after the fact. But no one's ever said, no, they should not put any of those guys in this Hall of Fame. Just a question. Mm-hmm. Just something to make you go,
I'm totally with you. Totally.
Right, sorry about that.
I want you to hear something. You got your earphones on here?
Yep.
Give a listen to this, Mike Tomlin.
He's a young guy. He's going to grow throughout this process, but make no mistake about it. We're not grading him on a curve. He's not grading himself on a curve. There's an expectation of quality play and playing to win.
Kenny Pickett not on a curve, not graded on a curve. That said, if the organization is telling me that right now, and this is what we talked about to kind of start the show today. If the organization's telling me right now he's not graded on a curve, let me put myself in the stands and in the fan standpoint. Why should I expect anything less than being a really good NFL quarterback starting on Sunday at 1 o'clock from Kenny Pickett? Why should I expect there to be any training wheels then?
There shouldn't be. I mean, if he's practicing what he's preaching, and I'm sure Coach Tomlin really feels what he's saying, that, hey, there's that expectation. Again, it goes back to that cliche, the standard's the standard. So they're saying if he is inserted as the number one, there's a level of expectation that we expect, and he's going to hit that mark. If he doesn't, we are going to help him hit that mark, be it the way we game plan everybody else around him. And that's one of the things that Coach Tomlin has to be preaching to the offense and the rest of the team. We have a rookie quarterback coming in. I know we expect him to do good things. He brings swag. He brings excitement. But you and the rest of the team, and talking individually to every person, you have to step your game up to help this rookie. You can't have balls going through your hands. You can't have balls bouncing off your hands. You have to make these plays. You have to make them regularly, but you definitely have to step your game up when you have a rookie quarterback.
To me, it seems like he has confidence in Kenny Pickett, and he just said, you know, obviously the curve thing. But then also, I think, well, how come the epiphany now? Like, he wasn't good enough 4 weeks ago to start the season? But why does he seem to have the confidence of him being graded and being looked at and judged as the everyday quarterback in the NFL now, but not to start the season?
I'd say it gave him a two-way go. Gives the organization and the coach a two-way go. You start with Trubisky. If he plays well, you have a chance to bring this guy along slowly. If he doesn't, you have that fallback plan. Again, it helps. It sets you up for your next move. And I'll tell you, I think it was a brilliant move by Coach Tomlin by not giving Kenny Pickett any reps during the week that he last week.
Why is that?
Because it gives you, again, a two-way go. If you throw him out there in the deep end, if he sinks, oh, that's okay. It's a rookie. That's on me. I didn't give him any reps. If he plays well or gives you a spark, then you think, then everybody in that organization, everybody in the media, and everybody, especially in that locker room, said, look what he did without any reps.
What about trying to just win the football game? But, is that the best vehicle to try to beat the Jets, though, which they lost to?
Well, we're looking long game.
I'm looking at you right when you walk into that stadium against the Jets, essentially you're still in it.
Yeah, you're still in it. And guess what? If the defense performs, you win. I don't think the offense was the reason why they lost. Now, granted, Kenny threw three picks. Well, let's just say two. Ill-advised throws, but again, the receivers had them in their hands. Firemouth had them in their hands. So that technically isn't on ill-advised throw. They're on Kenny. But if that's what I'm saying, that's when you point to those guys. You need to step it up.
But if he's playing the long game, Mike Tomlin and the organization in this case, the long game, by saying there's no grading on a curve for Kenny Pickett, he's immediately a QB1 in the NFL. Well, you just departed from the guy you installed as QB1 without much of a competition, mind you, in 3.5 weeks of subpar play, not meeting expectations.
Right.
What happens if Kenny doesn't meet expectations for 3 to 4 weeks? Is he going to go right back to Trubisky? That's not playing the long game with Kenny Pickett's development.
I don't see him going back to Trubisky unless it is an injury, because that's when you back yourself in the corner and you're going to stunt the development of Kenny. You're going to, in my opinion, sit there and yo-yo a guy instead of saying, you're our guy, we picked you at 20, we're going to back you.
I don't even think there's any sort of notion that he would go back to Trubisky.
No.
At all. I don't think so.
It wouldn't make any sense at all, but when you say you're not grading him on a curve, and you openly admit you thought about playing Trubisky this week against Buffalo, those two things converge in my mind to say, maybe it's stupid and crazy, I think, but I wouldn't be shocked if he did it later in the year.
I would be shocked. I would be shocked because, again, how does that help you with your next move? It's basically saying it doesn't.
Your next move is Kenny.
Yeah, yes.
That's
right?
It.
You've arrived there.
And when and Colin, what you're talking about winning games.
Right.
I'm sure he thought we could win games, especially the Jets, with Trubisky and without Trubisky, with Kenny Pickett coming off the bench cold with our defense. That to me is where the focus should be. Kenny's going to be Kenny. You're going to have some ups and you're going to have some downs. He's a rookie. My focus is the downward spiral of that defense.
Well, I can focus on more than one thing, Doug, and I focus on, you think your defense can stop them, but in doing that, in what you're describing here, in getting him out there with no reps, it's another mismanagement and botching of the quarterback situation that seemingly began the day after Kenny Pickett was drafted, in my estimation. Because,
why is that?
Well, number one, they didn't have a true quarterback derby to start, so that didn't happen. There was that. There's a lot of different things. The reps weren't split the way a lot of people would have liked them through camp. Kenny Pickett didn't get the full opportunity that some people thought he should have during camp. Mike Tomlin told us in stadiums is what mattered during camp. Kenny Pickett was brilliant in the preseason games. Then he's relegated to third team after a big clerical error, so to speak, where he let that linger for 48 hours out there. So that happened. Kenny Pickett then elevates himself to first on the depth chart from second, and did so when he had an opportunity of 10 days to play this guy and practice him and practice and facilitate that change. He didn't use that. Then he operates and plays himself from second to first with just one half of play. And really, did Kenny Pickett get that much better from the time the camp broke till right now? Did Mitch Trubisky get that much worse? I don't know. It felt like it just the switch flicked, and he said, it is time. I didn't see a whole lot of the variables changing from the time other than the losses, other than the time camp broke till right now. Why wasn't Pickett then just the starter to start?
I look at it
this way. If he was ready, he was ready. No. What did Kenny Pickett do on the bench and with very minimal practice reps from the time camp broke to halftime of that game the other day to improve? He should have just started the whole time then.
You can look at it that way, and dude, I totally see where you're coming from. The way I look at it is put as many obstacles in front of a young quarterback as possible and see if he can overcome them, because once he gets on those on the field, the obstacles that are presented will be something that he's used to and knows how to overcome, and instills more confidence in the locker room, in the organization, about what this guy can do with no reps, stacked against him, the opportunity to start, never getting it.
Then don't tell us the day after he's drafted that he's an NFL-ready quarterback, because that all happened, and that was the reason. Like, it just feels like they say he's a rookie when it's convenient, and they say he's an NFL-ready quarterback when it's convenient.
The quote was, he is the most NFL-ready of the class. They didn't say he was NFL, the most NFL-ready of quarterbacks coming out in this class. So you have to listen to exactly what they're saying.
But I come back around to, and I said this yesterday, it hit me like a bolt of lightning yesterday morning as we were sitting here talking. These four games that everybody expects them to go 0-4 might be the perfect time to throw Kenny Pickett in there.
That's what I'm saying.
Because there are zero expectations, right? You're supposed to go 0-4. But then the head coach walks out there on Tuesday afternoon and says, well, we're not grading him on a curve. We know what's expected of Kenny.
That, to me, is addressing Deontay Johnson's we're rebuilding. He's addressing the team through the media. The expectations haven't dipped. But to me, I still think it's a brilliant move, because if Kenny came out and been bad, you had the excuse. That's on me. If he played well like he did, everybody's going to be like, we have a chance now. And then you back it up when someone says we're rebuilding, because vets did it. Alan Faneca did it when Ben did. All right, guess what? I've been there. I've heard this before. No, expectations are the same. And that also means expectations for everybody else are still the same.
Well, I mean, I think if Kenny wasn't ready, you would have seen it blatantly during the second half. You know, there would have been delay of games. There would have been false starts. There would have been miscommunications from him in the offensive line.
Charlie checks down.
He has zero sacks. Zero sacks. And he was up at the line making protection calls. So he obviously was getting guys in the right spots on the offensive line. He was looking out to his receivers. Hey, you run a go route. Hey, George, run a go route. So to me, mental reps are huge. And that's what he was getting. So they felt that he was prepared enough to go in, not just Mike Tomlin, not just Matt Canada, but his teammates definitely sure as hell thought he was prepared enough to be in the game and to potentially win the game after he scored two touchdowns, put them up in the lead, and like you said, the defense just didn't come through.
Well, my question is, I didn't hear the press conference. Does Kenny have a chance to audible at the line of scrimmage?
Yes.
Yeah.
So wait a minute.
Here we go.
Kenny Pickett, as a rookie coming in his first appearance, being able to make adjustments at the line and calls at the line, whereas it was said that Mitch wasn't given as much liberty to do that earlier in the season.
I don't know that I agree with that component of the statement.
Okay, so he doesn't agree with the component that Mitch was not permitted to do that.
Okay, so then that shows you more that Mitch shouldn't have been the guy.
Was Trubisky not confident enough to make those checks?
That means you're not the guy.
We're just going round and round here, and you know what the thing is that I arrive at, and Adam, I don't know if you feel this way, or Doug, or whatever. I arrive at, we all said it was uncharted territory for Mike Tomlin, and it's glaringly obvious he never went through a quarterback decision of enormity that he had to go through right now.
I mean, if you look at his career, I'm not even talking about a head coach, even as an assistant coach, he always had a quarterback in place. He did not have a quarterback competition. And again, first time through, maybe mishandled, or maybe we'll see. Time will tell. Maybe handle it just perfectly.
He could have given Kenny Pickett 10 days to prepare, but instead didn't. Now, you, I thought, had great points earlier whenever you talked about the decision Mike Tomlin would have made or did make. What do you think it does for Kenny now to have a full week to prepare? Do you think it makes him a better player in this game than he was against the Jets?
No doubt about it. One, he's got the confidence. If I can come in here and orchestrate and do what I did without taking a snap, guess what? When I'm the guy and I'm taking every single snap at practice, I'm the focal point of the game plan. I'm sitting with Matt Canada saying, on third and two in the plus territory, here are the plays we talked about in practice, but here are the ones I feel most comfortable with. And then now Canada is going to get comfortable with Kenny and hopefully grow with Kenny. That's a big hope. And here's a big question. I know to the listening audience, and you can maybe put it on a Twitter poll, everybody wants Kenny to do great. And if he does, that means Canada's coming back. How do you feel about that?
Let's get into that coming up next. Hang that out there. Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Why don't you text us? Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Window Nation there for you. Getting cold out there. It will. Yep, overnight especially. You could feel it now. Well, you need really good windows in your house, that's for sure. Insulate yourself from that cold air. Make sure that hot air stays in, cold air stays out. Window Nation's got you covered. Pay nothing with no interest until 2025. Lower your energy bills, raise the value of your home with new energy-efficient Window Nation windows, and do it right now. The longer you have old, drafty, awful windows in your house, the more money you're wasting throwing it, well, right out the window. Window Nation windows are great, so get them in your house right now. Over 10,000 online positive reviews. Go check them out for yourself. You can read them right now. Window Nation installed over 200,000 windows just last year. That's amazing how much work they're doing. So buy two windows and get two for free. Any style windows from Window Nation. No limit, no minimum, no maximum. 866-90-NATION. Again, that's the number. It's 866-90-NATION. You can go to the website, see everything that you like there, pick and choose and see what you want in your house. That's windownation.com.
Cardinals 8, Pirates 7, the 100th loss for the Buccos on the season last night. They'll wrap it up today against the St. Louis Cardinals. You can listen on your Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, your Odyssey app. Mike Tomlin said yesterday, Kenny Pickett, the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you're worried about Mitch, he's flipping the coin. Not flipping the coin, calling the coin flip on Sunday. Fan headlines powered by Bowser Chevrolet, your Pittsburgh Chevy headquarters.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you shook us here.
That's what I do every once in a while.
Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. Now, you say, not careful what you wish for, but everybody wants the Steelers offense to turn it around. If they do, does that mean that Kenny Pickett and Matt Canada would be attached at the hip, i.e., Matt Canada, hey, look what he did. He's got to stay around for a while. That means the offense is playing well. Let me throw a wrench into this.
Mm-hmm.
Canada was bad last year, and Ben sort of willed them to some victories. Mm-hmm. Could Kenny Pickett reach the point where he operates kind of on his own? Or are you saying it's a for sure thing if this offense gets it in gear, Matt Canada, then the way that he's looked at in this town will be a total 180? Like, everybody will have to look at him like he's doing a great job.
I don't know if people will look at him, but I'm looking at it from an organizational standpoint. If you have Kenny Pickett, say he goes 500 the rest of the way, especially with his daunting next 4 stretch, why would you want to take that offensive coordinator away from him, give him another offensive coordinator in his second year when you need that jump to be very big from year 1 to year 2, and now you're going to possibly stunt it by throwing a new system at him? That's my question. It's a conundrum.
Yeah, I think they'd be linked together. I think there's no way. I mean,
you can't do it.
Even if Kenny does have the reins of like doing things himself, that's still on Canada letting him do that. So and having a confidence in him to do that.
And Canada developing the plan
right.
along with
to
Kenny
do that.
To yeah. do that. Right. So I'm just saying.
Is it fair to look back and ask how much Mitch Trubisky was? And look, I'm not a huge Matt Canada fan anymore, but is it fair to ask how much Mitch Trubisky was limiting what they could do in Matt Canada's offense? You saw Kenny Pickett simply throw the ball places on the field in the second half Sunday where we hadn't seen Trubisky throw it.
My question is, was it Trubisky limiting the offense, or mm-hmm. did Trubisky just not go out and play aggressive? Meaning, were they limiting?
Well, his passivity, I think, yes. limited
yeah.
the offense.
Yeah, so that's on Trubisky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now I think we're going to, and I'm taking a 180. We're going to actually see if this is Canada's guy. If he recruited him, this is the guy. There's no more excuses after this for Canada.
Well, then what the hell did they play the first four games for? I keep getting back to that. From a defense – now, look, T.J. Watt got hurt, okay. Mm-hmm. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are right back where they were at mm-hmm. the beginning of the season. We learned absolutely nothing. All this could have been done if Kenny Pickett would have just played.
What I will say I think we learned, guys, is that Matt Canada's offense and his scheme is 100% dependent on the quarterback within it.
Right.
Whereas there are offenses out there that you can, I don't want to say you can take anybody, but you can take a good quarterback and make him great, mm-hmm. right? Matt Canada's offense, I don't think, is going to do that. It's wholly dependent on the quarterback playing to a level that lifts the offense up with his level of play.
I think, and to answer your question, in my opinion, the biggest mistake was the organization and the public and the media believing that Mitch Trubisky, 1 year, and under Brian Daboll and Josh Allen, was going to turn around and be something better than what he showed in Chicago. He is what he is, and he's been that way because he only started one year in college. He's got some physical ability, athletic ability, arm talent. I hate that word, arm talent, but he's got an arm. But he doesn't have that quarterback acumen, and it's been proven over and over
again. Yeah, I think it's more mental. I mean, I look at one thing from that game to see that Kenny – should be the guy and Mitch shouldn't, and that's the sacks. Mitch took 3 sacks in the first half. Kenny took 0 sacks, and I know Kenny uses his legs more, but I also think that's Kenny getting to the line and being able to identify things more than probably Mitch does. And you talk about the aggressiveness. What if Mitch just didn't understand how to be aggressive and how to get out of certain situations and get into better ones?
Because he's not comfortable in being a quarterback because he hasn't – I mean, he's never had success mm-hmm. pushing the envelope, being aggressive. It's always, well, let me take this. I feel more comfortable this. That's not how you can play the game as a quarterback in the NFL. And if you do, you're going to be right on the bench like he is now.
Will the offense look different? Will it be the same suite of plays? Will it be all of that? Or do you think it'll look different? Take Kenny. Yeah. I don't want to say take Kenny Pickett out of it. We know it'll be more expeditious. We know that it'll have more oomph to it because of Kenny Pickett. Do you think Matt Canada will get to a point where he's comfortable making different play calls because of this quarterback?
I think so, and I hate to say it because I was the number one earliest doubter of Matt Canada, but with Kenny Pickett, we're going to actually see the full complement of a play by Matt Canada, not just staring down a quarter of the field. We're going to be able to see on the backside, did he design a man beater on the backside that where Kenny sees this guy's getting doubled, that backside guy's only singled, let me see that, or what's happening in the middle field. So you'll see all the options that Canada puts out there for the quarterback.
There's a great example that's circulating out there on social media of the throw that Kenny Pickett stood in there and made to Pat Freiermuth in the fourth quarter while he takes a hit in the face, and that play basically superimposed or juxtaposed against the exact same
it's
play
actually
with
a
Trubisky
terrible example because Charlie Batch smashed it. Considering it's different formations, it's a different check. It's an awful example.
Okay, it looks at least based on the video on social media.
No, Charlie spoke to that. It's
okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. It comes out of different formations. It's different personnel, and it's not comparable, really.
There's a crosser underneath, a shallow crosser
concept.
Underneath, and a tight end attacking the seam.
That's the concept. And not to cut you off, Doran, I'll let you go. That's the whole thing about offenses. It's all about concept. It doesn't matter where you start. It's where you end. And the West Coast offense, if you really study the West Coast offense, it's 5 people in the pattern. You got 2 deep, on the near the sideline, two shallow near the sideline, and one right in the middle. And they get that way by different formations and different personnel, but they all end up right there. So it's the concept.
This is what I'll speak to. Charlie says, what a terrible example. It's different formation, different play, completely different coverage. Show us anything to just fit your narrative. Amazing how people are falling for this. I agree with Charlie. He looks at the play, diagnoses it. What I will say is this. I don't need that play to be diagnosed just to see who brought more juice to the offense. You know what I mean? Like,
Mitch
took
a sack that play, right?
Right.
Okay, that's what I think that
exactly.
So Kenny stuck in there and fired it to his receiver, whoever it was, whatever play it was, he stuck in there, took a shot to the chin, yes, and threw it and completed the ball. Mitch took a sack. That's how I see that's being different.
And I'll take a step further. Got up, smiled, and say, thank you, sir. Can I have another? Oh, by the way, we're running this way, not that way.
Well, I think it's emblematic, and Charlie tweeting that, and people think it's a great play. It's really not. The argument that happens therein, it doesn't need to be that deep.
Right.
If you sat there in the stands or you watched on television and you saw one guy come into the game, everybody wanted to play for one guy. Mm-hmm. The offense looked entirely different. Nobody wanted to play for the other guy. And the offense looked like it was a bunch of trudging elephants the other time. Like, it's just that simple. It doesn't need to go that extra layer, diagnosing plays, superimposing them, doing that.
Well, it is now, though, that Kenny is the guy. All right, you have your guy. You have this guy that has the moxie that is better than what you had in there before. So let's see your offense now. This should be all handcuffs off, everything, the full complement of Matt Canada's office. And that's why I'm excited to say, all right, I beat you up for a year and a half now. All right, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what you got.
Let's get into defense coming up next and the amount of criticism that should fall there. We talk about that and the challenges they'll face in Buffalo. That's all coming up next here. It's Wednesdays with Whaley here on the Fan Morning Show. All right, the amount of criticism that should fall to the defense. I don't say struggle with this. I think there should be a whole lot, especially considering what happened in the fourth quarter against the Jets. All that said, you know, where is it personnel? Is it scheme? Is it both? Is it T.J. Watt is just that good of a football player that everything went to hell as soon as he got hurt? Where are we here, and how does it get better? Because it definitely needs to.
I'm at a loss, and I wish I could give you a better answer, but when you think, Terrell Austin's coming in, Brian Flores, Tomlin, you got that triumvirate. Oh, the defense is going to be better. Granted, T.J. Watt was out, like you said, he must be that big of a force multiplier, but if he's out, then Cam Hayward's nothing, and Minka is shoddy. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but he can only affect the game so much if he doesn't have pressure on the quarterback. So I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying that takes a lot of his game that is a force multiplier out of the equation when they're not getting pressure on the quarterback. But the biggest thing to me are those 6, 7, 11, 12 play drives when you need a stop to win the game, when you're up or you just need and you're down, or you're down by 3. It's a one-score game when the basis of your team going into the season and after that first game was, this is what's going to carry us to victory. They have been letting the team down. And to me, after a while, it has to be something where they get together and say, we got to have some more pride. We don't have pride in what we're doing.
If TJ had been in there, are they undefeated? Or is there a bigger gap than him just being in there? Do you think the Steelers would be undefeated right now if TJ Watt didn't get hurt?
I think they win the New England game. And I think they win the Jets game. I don't know if they win that Cleveland game. So, not undefeated, but yeah, they've only had one loss.
You talk about force multipliers as far as T.J. Watt not being in there. How has it affected the middle of the defense? Because I see Miles Jack the first game and a half, two games, looked like a guy that was starting to find some form that he had previous to last year in Jacksonville, which was a down year for him. Devin Bush has just kind of continued to putter along and isn't making the big plays that you would hope a guy drafted 10th overall would make, but I guess not looking as conspicuous by absence as he did last year. Robert Spillane can't run with anybody in coverage. The middle of that defense is what looks like the problem to me, and they don't have anybody that can fix that.
Yeah, there's no answer. I mean, obviously they tried to move some personnel around, but in my opinion, when you're talking about a Miles Jack, a Bush, and that middle of that defense, they're just getting beat down. They are just getting jab, jab, body blow, jab, body blow, jab, body blow. And you can say, well, the offense isn't keeping them off the field and this and that. But after a while, you have some intestinal fortitude and say, guess what? We're going to commit 9 guys to the box. You can beat us over the top, but we're not going to let you run down the field in an 11-play drive when we need the ball back and just run us over like we're not have any type of backbone. You have to step it up and start committing. And this is when it goes to the coaches. You got to start devising some schemes. If the personnel's not there, you have to devise schemes to help your personnel be better.
Doug, I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this, but Cam Hayward does not look like the same guy to me. What do you think's going on there?
I think it's now the attention's going to Cam Hayward. Before, it was going to Watt. So now you had to slide the line to Watt. You had double teams to Watt and leaves Cam one-on-one. Now it's, we don't have anybody else. Let's double-team Watt. Double-team Cam or run right at Cam to neutralize his effectiveness. That's, to me, what's the issue.
All right, answer me this. From a tactical standpoint, Josh Allen, we all know his ability to run, design run, his ability to throw the football, his ability when plays break down to get out and go some, but especially designed runs. And this is where when people liken him to Ben, I think they're totally off base, a young Ben, because Ben never had a designed run in his life, really. So that said, what do you do? Do you spy him with a backer on the outside?
What backer's going to on the Steelers?
I was just saying this. Okay. Like, I don't know. If you elevate, that's a big task for Mark Robinson, who's been down and hasn't been up at all for a game. So you can't throw him right into the mix. The ideal thing is you bring Troy Polamalu out of retirement or you find somebody like that. But what do you do defensively? Because a spy is the right way to go, but you don't have – Edmonds maybe, but you don't really have that guy.
Yeah. I would say this, in my opinion, if you look at a lot of the effectiveness of the Bills' offense, it's against man.
Mm-hmm.
Zone, he has a little more trouble. So what I would do is I would tell my defensive line, take 2 or 3 steps and then just build a wall. And then and rush with 4, you have everybody else drop in zone and say, if you're going to beat me, one, that you know they don't have a running game except him. And if you have 4 guys building a wall, he doesn't have those lanes that are presented when you have a defensive end rushing deep and a defensive tackle that's not getting any penetration. You have that open lane. Everybody get and just build a wall and then say, all right, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us in the pocket with your mind and not your feet and your arm.
Well, what they do last year, first game of the season, that's the game plan I'd bring.
Yeah, same thing.
You know, but they are moving guys around a lot on
trying
the D-line.
To confuse him and keep him in that pocket. That's the only way you're going to have it.
But as great as it was that they came away with the win in that game, they still weren't able to totally limit Stephon Diggs, and Allen and Diggs still have that telepathic thing, and it brings us back to the middle of the defense, and especially if it's a secondary that's without at least one of its safeties, I mean, that they're still in trouble.
They're in trouble.
You got to figure out who's more dangerous.
Right. You know, you just got to pick your poison. Yeah. It's like, and to me, it's like playing Michael Jordan. All right, let him get his, but we got to stop everything else. Let Diggs get his, but we got to stop Josh Allen. And they don't have a running game. What else do they have? Now, the bigger issue to me is when you take it to Miami. Because when you look at the Dolphins, and I looked at them, their offense is based on leverage and speed. And they can out-leverage you by formations, by personnel. And if they get on an edge and they have that speed – and think about the Steelers' secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Corners. Who is known as a blazer as one of our corners? Who can run?
No, there really isn't. I think Cam Sutton has come a long way, but he's not a burner.
Right.
The last guy that could run like hell was Artie Burns, but he couldn't play.
Right. But who's going to run deep with Tyreek Hill? Who's going to run deep with Waddle? That's what worries me. And that's why Stephon Diggs can have a big game against the Steelers. But that's only one for Buffalo. You got 2, and then you – Cedric Wilson – you got 3, and then when you get Tampa in here, that's when that scoreboard might get lit up.
I want to ask you about Brady coming up in just a couple minutes. Pony had a real incredible question yesterday, and I want to ask you from a player personnel standpoint, how much does off-the-field stuff affect on-the-field stuff, and have you seen examples of any of this in the past. We do need to get into this coming up next. It's Wednesdays with Whaley till the top of the hour. Good morning to you.
Cardinals beat the Pirates yesterday 8-7. It was the 100th loss of the season for the Bucs. Mike Tomlin spoke yesterday, named Kenny Pickett his starting quarterback for the game upcoming against the Buffalo Bills. Fan headlines powered by Bowser Chevrolet, your Pittsburgh Chevy headquarters.
All right, you may have heard, I mean, you're a spoken for man, but there's a woman becoming available. Her name is Giselle, apparently, according to news reports, divorce attorneys and the such. Well, she was married to this
Brady
man.
She's about to give up half. She's off.
She is.
Who cares about her now?
She loses in that battle.
No
doubt. She makes so much money. That said, from a real football standpoint, let's say somebody, you read this in the thing, and you're the player personnel person of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Brady's a different story, I guess, because he's been around for so long. But you see somebody's going through a divorce, or they're about to. Do you approach them? Do they approach you? Is it unspoken unless they come to you? How does that work?
No, that's why you set up, and it's been prevalent, and it started to happen my last couple of years. That's when you have in-house counselors. You have mental performance, not only coaches, but therapists in-house. So, and we put them down, because most organizations, you either have a player's place, like with the weight room, locker room, and then you have the coaches in the front office. So we put that lady, which was our mental lady, next to the weight room. So players could go in there and not walk past our coaches' offices or GM's offices going to her office. So they felt more comfortable. But that's what you need. You need, because think about it. Everybody has issues. I don't care if you're Tom Brady. Obviously, he's got issues. To Joe Blow off the street, you're going to have issues. You need to talk to somebody. And if you are going to be expected to perform at a high level, you need that mental sharpness. So why not give them an outlet to be as capable when they're called upon as possible?
Yeah, I think Brady probably would go to the team, right, and be like, hey, I'm in a legal situation where I'm going to need to find legal counsel to
Brady
do.
Might be the I got this guy more than anybody.
I don't know.
Do you think it affects his play, though? I guess that's the big question.
Well, I'll say this. Because he is such a professional, I'm sure he has communicated everything going on to the organization. But to me, he's the type of guy. There's two types of athletes. Athletes that use their athletic acumen to really shut out the rest of the world. That is their safe haven. I can go, and most competitors, when I step on that grass, everything else is gone. And this is my sanctuary. This is where I feel best and most comfortable, and I can block out anything else going on in my life. I'm betting Tom Brady's that type. There's other people that, no matter what's going on in their life, it's going to infiltrate their job and their performance. And I've had that before in Buffalo. We had a first-round defensive tackle we paid a lot of money to. He had an atrocious life, meaning – people around him always pulling at him, and it really affected his performance, first his preparation and his performance on the field, because he couldn't compartmentalize and leave that when he stepped on the field or in the practice.
I want to go across the state for a minute. Is Jalen Hurts a legit MVP candidate, or are the Eagles the best team in football?
I would say this. Jalen Hurts is performing in that system to the highest capable level that they can expect.
So this is the best they'll possibly get out of him.
I think so. But with that said, Howie Roseman has built a team around him to give him the complementary pieces to elevate his game. But more importantly, I think it's Nick Sirianni and that offensive system. Because think about it. Last year when he first started, they were throwing a lot, and I think they were 1-3 or whatever. They switched to the running game, and they propelled that all the way to the playoffs. Now they are feeding off of running game and then the multiple weapons outside. I think the construction of the team and the deployment of those assets by the coach are hitting on all cylinders.
Not first round pick. I mean, there were a lot of people even in that second round that said, oh, I don't know. Do we go in on Jalen Hurts? you know, he had transferred, he'd moved from Alabama to Oklahoma. Right. What are we getting out of this guy? And he looks like a Smurf, although he's 6'1", 220 pounds. He's not that 6'5", pure passer kind of guy. I think there were a lot of questions on him out of college.
There are a lot of questions, but if the more and more you think about it, think about Hurts leaving Alabama, getting supplanted, going to Oklahoma, handling it like a professional, going to Oklahoma and performing. Same, and I'm not saying these guys are the same players. I'm talking about mental makeup and fortitude. Russell Wilson, unceremoniously dismissed from NC State, goes to Wisconsin, within 2 months gets labeled as the captain and performs there. Tom Brady, when he was in Michigan, Drew Henson, they were always trying to get him out of there. He overcame that and performed. I'm pointing at the point of this conversation, and what I'm trying to say is there's physical skills, but then there's that mental makeup and fortitude and that it factor. And that's that common factor between those three guys. They can go anywhere, overcome their situation, and still be the man.
Man, they clowned on Sirianni, too, at that first press conference. We were talking about that just the other day. Yeah. People in Philly, the sports talk radio was smashing him, the introductory press conference. The headlines in the Philly Inquirer, they were crushing this guy. They were he was such a terrible public speaker, they thought. Yeah. They hammered him.
And he brought it up to the team in the team conference. He's like, all right, fellas, I got to do a much better job than that first press conference. But guess what? It's on you guys. Help me make that better. So that's confront it. Get it out there. Don't try to hide it or sweep it under the rug. Confront it. Just like drafting EJ.
Who's the best coach?
Look at you getting out ahead of it.
Get out ahead
Bring
of it.
Up every week.
Exactly. Who getting
is
fired.
You get EJ Manuel tattoo on your arm.
But who is the best coach in the NFL right now?
That's a very good question. I would say, I would just say right now and not legacy and all of that.
Right.
I just love how Sirianni's just that defense and that offense, everything is clicking because it seems like it's personnel based and not system and scheme based.
I got to go Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid right now.
You know what? Andy Reid showed me a lot. Get the hell out of here. Andy Reid showed me a lot over the past 2 weeks in that his coach and his coordinator and his quarterback had a screaming match, and then 7 days later they scored 42 points or something, 45 points, whatever it was.
It just shows you when you're in the heat of the battle and you're competing, you want those type A's. You want some of that.
Right.
If it was like, oh, okay, sorry. Then you'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And would the Steelers benefit from something like that? Do the Steelers need somebody to step up and say, all right, enough's enough, and get in people's faces?
Well, they had that, and they had to get rid of them to keep the quarterback
happy.
Guy
went to your high school, one of your pals. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, look at the success they had back then and what's happening now. I'm just saying, you need to have somebody hold accountable. And I'll say this, and it's Charlie Batch, he's great. Good teams, the culture set by the coaches. Great teams, the culture set by the locker room.
There we go. Doug Whaley. Doug, going to go play golf today? What do you got going on?
No.
Okay.
No,
it's unlike you to play golf,
chill.
Right?
It's a little chilly.
Too cold for Doug. So there's that. All right. I'll give you that weather on that note. Thank you, Doug. It was wonderful. Again, Wednesdays with Whaley. Check it all out on the Odyssey app. If you missed anything, you can go back or you can check out our podcast page. Fan weather right now brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Great deal on a newer pre-owned vehicle. Great service, too. You find it at Sun Chevrolet. Sunny today. Hi. In the mid to upper 60s.
That's the weather.
Doran Dickerson here for Noah Gabriel and Company Jewelers. My coach has always expected 110% effort from me on every single play. Yep, 110%. That's what you can expect.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.